At the end of the day, with me, Ronnie Barber, on the line, Chris Pringle, Chief Executive of CAMS FA. What kind of week have you had so far, Mr. Pringle?
Every week's a busy one, Ronnie. But yeah, it was a week this week where we had a council meeting. We probably have half a dozen council meetings a year. Quite a good phase, really, because what we're doing at the minute is having a review of our governance structure generally. And we've got an independent person, and that is a really helpful thing. Someone from the outside coming in, sitting in, looking at the council meeting and other meetings, and just making some observations and with a view to coming back and making some suggestions. We want to be obviously more transparent. We want to review how we come to decisions and probably beef up scrutiny, things like that. So yeah, really helpful having someone looking from outside.
It was a couple of weeks back, Chris, on this programme that we were talking about getting youth involved in the governance of CAMS FA and the FA in general. Do you think that's an attractive thing? And in light of that, did you get much sort of interest from young people wanting to get involved?
We've got some interest. We've got some interested people. I think initially that will probably end up being kind of like a working group, almost not necessarily linking directly to council straight away, but just representing, you know, young people and the various things that they do. So young people in refereeing, young people in coaching. So that almost works together, you know, on a separate tramline with a view to when the review's complete, hopefully someone stepping across and, you know, representing that whole body of young people. So yeah, these things aren't overnight things, but progress being made, definitely.
And let's stay with governors of a different kind then, Chris. FIFA, the gaffer there, Sepp Blatter, has turned down the chance to have a debate on Sky and the BBC about the leadership of FIFA. He's clinging dearly to this side of the Titanic that is FIFA.
Yeah, I think he wants another term, having said previously that he doesn't want another term. And obviously, when these, you know, great leaders in inverted commas get to the end of a period of office, they don't always want to give it up. And I think Sepp Blatter's in that camp. It's great that there's going to be an election. Last time there wasn't, which can't be good. I personally would love to see, you know, people debate the issues and be public and open and transparent so people can hear what they've got to say. Not that it's a public vote, but at least, you know, for the fact that, you know, public opinion does influence members, I'm sure, on the council level. So I don't know what people have got to hide. I'm sure it's nothing, but, you know, let's hear what they've got to say and hear the detail of what they plan to do. And I think Blatter should do that just the same way that Cameron should.
I put you in the audience of that debate if it happened then, Chris. It wouldn't happen, of course. But what one thing would you like to ask Blatter, do you think?
I think some of the things we've talked about over the weeks, really, basically the distribution of money, you know, looking at the game as a whole. It can't be right that the top of the pyramid, whether it's at club level or international level, is so far removed from the very bottom. You know, how can we look at the financial distribution of within the game to make that pyramid, you know, less steep? I think that would be my main question.
Goal! Yes! Yes! Goal!
Let's stay with the European football. Last night, Barcelona turned over Man City, Chris. And if it hadn't been for Joe Hart, that would have been in double figures. And now I see they're talking about removing one of the four places in the Champions League from the English teams. Is that a sign of the times? You know, we've talked about before about money not buying success, but I think the English teams have been shown up to be fairly inadequate on the big stage.
Yeah, there's more to building top-performing international club teams than just buying a lot of expensive players. And I think that is the mistake that City look like they've made. You look at sort of Boney coming on and £30 million worth doesn't really look as if he's got a role in that team. So, I mean, I've almost predicted Tuesday night as well with Arsenal, you know, plucky gallant losers, you know, but playing good football. So something's not quite right somewhere with the top of the Premier League. For me, it's, you know, more about can we bring blood through sort of younger English British players. I think I'd like to see some more of those in the top four clubs. Difficult though it is, because there's the temptation, well, we have to get immediate results and immediate success against the top sides in Europe. But, you know, if we just look at the model of the Bayern Munichs and Barcelonas, they are bringing through, you know, a good percentage of their own nationality players. So maybe that's our mistake. when it comes back to old-fashioned team building, what's everybody's role, responsibility? Does everybody understand that? Do we all know how we're trying to play? And, you know, have we got a game plan? And I don't think City really had a game plan from what I could see.
No, it
was kind of like, let's minimise the threat. And you know, as you say, Joe Hart had a great game, but didn't really look like scoring.
No, they didn't. And they didn't even... They didn't seem to me like they tried to win it. They tried to contain rather than go and win it. But let's move away from that. And your team, Nottingham Forest, in the Champions League... the Championship, rather.
Wishful thinking in the Champions League. I do remember the days, 1978, 79. Yes, I am old enough. It's
exciting.
Tight.
It's a great league, this. It's really exciting, isn't it?
It is. I mean, in terms of the Forest bit, sort of 8 points off sixth is a long shot. But, you know, you go from 1 to 5 and you look at a 5-point spread, you can throw a blanket over them. Shame that Derby are on the slide, of course, as a Forest fan. But no, it's a great league. You know, I think it's entertaining. There's good football being played. There's a decent percentage of homegrown players, as well as a good smattering of, you know, overseas players that, you know, embellish the game. So, no, it's a really fantastic league and, you know, maybe more interesting than the Premier League.
So why is it then, Chris, that when teams get promoted to the Premiership from the Championship, there still is a gulf? Is it just purely that they can't buy the quality of player that's needed at the Premiership level?
Yeah, it's a really tough one. I mean, Burnley, if you look at them, have beaten Man City without spending a huge amount of money. But, you know, can they do it week in, week out in the Premier League? Doesn't look like they can. So it's hard to know what the real gulf is. I wonder if it's part technical, but also part psychological, that real belief that we can go and perform. And there's teams that have done it. You know, you look at Stoke under Pulis, made the adjustment. And I think a lot, and that wasn't with sort of world-class players, that was just with old-fashioned work ethic, great team shape and setup, and real sort of belief that they can do it. So, again, I talked about it earlier on in our chat today. It's good old-fashioned sort of team building, roles and responsibilities, having a strategy and going for it. So maybe a bit more of that needed.
Here we go again.
Hey, Chris, I see the Scottish Parliament has just passed an amendment to a law that will allow fans to be able to buy into the club. That's a good move, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it can be. I think it can work, sort of, especially certain clubs at certain levels can, you know, adopt that sort of community-type model and the fans-owned model pretty well. I think it's Gretna, the club that have been most in the news, haven't they, in terms of the Scottish model. I think it's probably not for everyone. It depends pretty much on, you know, the local situation and what people are involved. Hopefully people with the right sort of skills, background. Obviously, they'll need the resources, including the money, to run the club, depending on what level the club's at. But why not? I mean, I think some of the things that we've seen happening, you know, going against kind of like the ethos or the history of a club, you know, alienating the fans, certainly those things wouldn't happen, you know, with community and fan ownership. My question would be, you know, can the business operate under that model? I think all that process would have to be looked at. And then if it can be, then why not? It can't be a bad thing, depending on sort of who's involved.
Yeah, as long as it's not, and I go with you on the business model thing, as long as it's not seen as a kind of hobby for fans, they really have to take on board that this is a profit-making industry.
Yep.
And you have to buy into that as well.
Yeah, it's setting your stall out, depending on what level you're at, depending what sort of budget you need, etc. So it is a business. You know, football clubs are businesses, and you know, sometimes you'd sort of ask whether they always run like that. But you know, I think if the fans are getting involved in these trusts, etc., running clubs, then they've got to know it's a business they're running and not an emotive football club, which could be difficult to divorce. But it's not to say it couldn't work.
Could it work down here in England?
We're already seeing it work to a degree. You know, with clubs like Portsmouth, you've seen some of that, you know, in real heavy involvement of the fans, you know, having some stake in the club. So I think it can help, and it certainly you need that real link between the fans and the people running the football club. And yeah, why not have some ownership in there as well? Whether it can work sort of for everybody, I'm not quite sure, but I don't see why it can't work in terms of that stakeholder engagement. That's the key thing.
Talking of great clubs then, the Forest beat Rotherham last night. Was it 2-0? Still ninth in the league, so it's, you know, playoffs beckoning. You're away to Norwich this Saturday. That's going to be a Norwich banging form and at home. You're going to have a tough one there.
The next three games are the season for Forest. If they can get, you know, a decent number of points from Norwich, Brentford and Wolves, teams directly above us, then who knows? But 8 points is a lot to grab six, but just great to keep winning, just great to keep the run going. And whatever happens, it looks reasonable, you know, as if the momentum's decent for the start of next season. Be lovely to nick sixth, but, you know, not the end of the world if we don't. But the next three games are massive. Can't wait.
And your prediction, please, a score, please. And I want a score this time.
Okay, Norwich. I think Norwich can have one of their banana skin days. Norwich 0, Forest 1, and the bandwagon continues.
Back of the net.